So we're going to start off where more or less we left off last week in the in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, and we'll go to chapter 11. Isaiah 11. Very good. So Isaiah chapter 11, and where we left off last week, we left off, we were talking about the names of God, and we're going to wrap up this study today. We can continue in a lot of various ways, in a lot of different directions, but we've covered several names and how they relate to the Messiah, and there's one name in particular that we read last week in our reading in the book of Zechariah that comes out, and we'll focus in on that today. And as we look at that, we talked about the branch. So we've covered Psalm 23 and how we see the different names of God in Psalm 23, and then we're in Isaiah, and then we'll look at Jeremiah and Zechariah as we talk about the branch. So as we're looking at the branch, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says this, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And when we look at that, there's two different words many times that we see in Hebrew that are referenced to this word branch. But when we see the branch mentioned by the prophets, we covered last week that there were three prophets that mentioned this. Isaiah was the first one. He was about the time frame of 700 BC. And then we see Jeremiah mentions it as well. And Jeremiah was about 600 BC. And Zechariah is at about 520 BC. And he mentions the branch as well. Now, when we see 11:1, Isaiah 11:1, there's some things that we need to identify here about the branch, capital B. And in Zechariah, it's actually all capitalized, the entire name. But it talks about the stem of Jesse. So it's identifying here the family line, and that's very important as we consider who the branch is, and the branch out of Jesse's roots. And we're going to look at that because the word branch, when you take a moment and understand, the word branch means like a shoot that comes from a stump, a green shoot that comes from a stump. And so as we look at Jeremiah, let's turn over there to 23:5, Jeremiah 23:5. The next book over. Jeremiah 23:5. And the Bible says this in verses 5 and 6. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." And so turn over a couple pages to chapter 33 of Jeremiah, chapter 33. Verse number 15. "In those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." This passage is very similar to the one we just read in Jeremiah 23. Kind of combines the names there. You see the branch, and then as mentioned in 23:5, and the Lord our righteousness is mentioned in 23:6. And then here in Jeremiah 33:15, it's called the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Then let's turn over to Zechariah, which is towards the end of the Old Testament, second to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter number 3. Zechariah 3, verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men, wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Then turn over a couple pages there, maybe one page or two in your Bibles, to Zechariah 6, verse 12. And it says this, 6:12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Now, when we look at this passage here and these passages, I want to identify a few things that we see that come to light from these passages. First, we notice the branch is of David. We talked about the stem of Jesse. And then in another passage, we see that the branch is mentioned, the branch of David, raised unto David, a righteous branch. But there's some identifying things here about this man that's called the branch. Number one, he shall be a man. That's something that we identify there. He is going to be a man. In Zechariah 6:12, it says, "Behold, the man whose name is the branch." Now, as a reference to the Messiah, that is true. We know that Jesus came down in flesh as a man. The Bible says that he became flesh. And then we also see that he's identified as a servant, also something else that we see as in the book of Philippians. The Bible says that he took upon him the form of a servant. And so we see that, again, as a reference to Jesus Christ. We see that in Zechariah 3:8. He says, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. We also see the branch as a king, right? We see it in the first passage that we mentioned, Jeremiah 23:5. It says, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So we see this branch as a king. And so when we look at these identifying factors, king, servant, man, we see those as clear descriptions, and we see that confirmed in the New Testament, as that's what Jesus Christ was. We know that he became flesh and he dwelt among us. We know that he took upon himself the form of a servant, and we know also that he is the King of Kings. And so when we look at the scriptures, again, here's this confirmation of the branch. Now, why is the branch so important? Why is it neat to look at? Because the branch comes from Jesse. If you remember, I just mentioned that this word for that is in the scriptures that is called the branch. It's like a green shoot, a shoot that comes out of a stump. Now, when we consider that, it's important for us to realize that the branch is part of the royal family tree. There's a Davidic covenant, and that was something that we talked about in our Old Testament survey class, that God told David that he was going to give the king, that Judah was going to rule, and the king was going to come through the line of Jesse or the line of David. That is something that is keyed in over and over, a promise that God gave to David, and obviously because as well the Messiah was going to come from that line. However, when you read the scriptures, and right before the captivity that we're reading about right about now in the scriptures, when we're looking at the prophets and we're looking at the two kingdoms that there were, there was the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel. And right at the end there, the line of David continued on through the nation of Judah. And so the kingdom of Israel is split into two, Judah and Israel. Now, there's something that goes on at the very last king right before the Jews go into captivity. The king is named Jeconiah. In other places in the scriptures, he's referenced as Coniah. But Jeconiah is the last Davidic king in the Old Testament. Why does that matter? Because the royal family tree at the captivity was cut off. So the royal tree of David, we know that the line is supposed to go through David, is cut off. He was the last king. And after, even as we go into Ezra and Nehemiah coming back to Jerusalem and rebuilding Jerusalem, rebuilding the wall, rebuilding the temple, all these things that go on, there is still not a king in Jerusalem. Now, one of the references in Zechariah 6:12, I think that's probably where you're at, the Bible says, he shall grow up out of his place and he shall build the temple of the Lord. There are many that believe that this reference is also to Zerubbabel. But if you read the scriptures, understand that Zerubbabel and Jesus Christ are related. They're both in the line of David. Now, Zerubbabel was never made a king over, he was made a ruler, but he was not made a king over the land of Israel. There were no more kings. There were no Davidic kings at all, all through the ages after the captivity. And so it's something interesting for us to consider, because no Davidic kings for hundreds of years. Now let's fast forward into the New Testament. And we come to a time where right around the time that Jesus is born, and Herod, we know Herod was the king. The term is used for him as the king at that time. He's the king of the land. But he's not a Davidic king. He's not of the line of David. There's some argument to be made that he's not even a Jew. And so when we consider that, we know that Herod knew about these things. He knew about the Jewish culture. He knew about the Jewish teachings. So much so that if you remember, the wise men came to him and he had the babies that were in the nation at that time in Bethlehem. They were killed under the as infants, as they were young, because the goal would be that they would kill the Messiah that supposedly had come at that time, the king that had been born. And again, this king was a king of the line of David. So he was the root, the branch that came off from the tree that was cut off. It's pretty amazing to consider as we look at the Messiah and how important it is when you look at all the things that the Bible mentions about, all these things come together as true. Now, one thing that was, I don't know, again, I think I've mentioned this a lot of times, and I'll mention it over and over again, any opportunity that I have. When you're reading the scripture, it's important to not just read over it and gloss through it. It's important to understand, ask yourself questions. What does that mean? What does that really mean? If this is the case, then how does that impact this in my life? And so there's a lot of questions that you should ask yourself in the scripture. Also, for a better understanding, there's a passage. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Probably just a few pages over from Zechariah, where we were at. So now we're getting into the description of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, if you go down to verse 23, the Bible says, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." So what does this mean? When you come across passages like this, spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene, I wonder to myself, where in the Old Testament, because that's what the reference is, does it say that he'll be called a Nazarene? And sometimes I look for it. If I have time, I'll search for it. Sometimes in some Bible, if you have cross-references, that cross-reference will be there. Now, this one's a little bit different because nowhere Nazarene means a person from Nazareth. I think we would agree with that. It doesn't mean a Nazarite. It doesn't mean anything like that. It means that it's a person from Nazareth. Now, nowhere in the scripture, nowhere in the Old Testament do we find a city called Nazareth. The city of Nazareth was not established until probably, they say, about 100 BC. So there's not this city. So when we, how does that reference make sense? How does this come together? He shall be called a Nazarene. Where did the prophet say it? Because when you look at it briefly, that doesn't seem to come out. There's no reference to the town of Nazareth. Well, here's where it comes out. It comes out in the book of, in the verse that we read in the beginning, Isaiah 11, 1. The word there that is used, branch, is the word netzer. And that is the term that we use, is used to make reference to the city of Nazareth. So there's these two things that God in his foreknowledge was able to make true. Because not only, so the word netzer means branch. So the Bible says there in Isaiah 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, a netzer, shall grow out of his roots. So there's that reference to not only him being called the branch, but it's also a reference to where he is from, Nazareth. And again, that's not something that anyone could have put together because the Old Testament prophets didn't know of any town called Nazareth. So it's amazing to think about, how else do we see this reference? The Bible talks about Nazareth being a place, if you recall in the scripture, one of the, I can't remember exact who said it, but one of the soon-to-be disciples came to another disciple and talked to him about Jesus of Nazareth. And that one said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That place was a place that was very rejected of the people, of the Jewish people. If you were a Jew, you did not want to be associated with Nazareth. You did not want to be called a Nazarene because that was a place that was looked down upon. We see that reference many times that the Bible says that he was despised and rejected of men. That's one of the reasons why he was despised and rejected, because he was from this town of Nazareth. There was a very likely, they consider a, during some archaeological digs, they found a bathhouse, a Roman bathhouse in the town of Nazareth, which makes people consider that there was likely a military garrison there. There was a base for the Roman soldiers. And so this was a place where obviously the Jews wanted nothing to do with. The Roman soldiers treated the Jews very carelessly. They were not at all kind to the Jewish people. They would tell them what to do. They would boss them around. They would abuse them, things like that. And so Nazareth wasn't a place that people really wanted to be from. And so we see that this town of Nazareth, likely just a place where many Roman soldiers were. But again, Nazareth was despised. It was a place that was rejected. So all these things are important because it points to the king coming from the line of David, and the last king that we see born of that is Jesus. Why do I say that? After the conquering of Jerusalem, the Roman armies took over Jerusalem, completely decimated in the year 70 AD. After that, there was tremendous persecution, and the Jews just left Israel, left the land of Palestine. And there was a time that was called, and you'll hear this reference many times, it's called the diaspora. And that's the dispersion of the Jews. And they were dispersed all around the world, all throughout the world. But this diaspora began in about 135 AD. Now, during this diaspora, people were not able to keep records. If you read this week, I believe it was in the book of Nehemiah, there was made reference to a book, a register of names. And those registers of names were very important because they kept track of who you were related to and your bloodline. And there were some people that the Bible even referenced this week that they did not have, they were not in the register. They couldn't find their heritage. They couldn't find who they were related to, so they weren't allowed to serve in the as Levites because they couldn't find their family tree. So they couldn't confirm that you are a Levite, true Levite that could work in service in the service of the Lord. Now, what happens with that is it's another reason that we see that Christ was the Messiah. We, a few years ago when we had Brother Sasser, he is a missionary to the Jewish people, there was somebody that asked them, they said, do the Jews continue to have these family registers? And all of them, what he said, he's like, that's an interesting thing because they really don't. They, most of what they have is word of mouth. Some of them may be related to, you know, they say, I am of the tribe of Judah, I'm of the tribe of Issachar, but most of that they have is through oral communication, passed on orally over the generations. It's not something that they have a literal register, record, written record of their families and of their relation. Why is that important? Because in the scripture, we see that for Jesus. We see his line go all the way back to Zerubbabel, as we mentioned, going back to David, going back all, and in the Gospels, there's different Gospels that deal, Matthew deals with his line as a Jew, making sure that people knew that Jesus was a Jew, he was of the line of David, no doubt. But I believe the book of Luke goes back all the way to Adam. It shows Jesus' heritage all the way going back to Adam. Now, these registers and these genealogies, that's the word I'm looking for, genealogies do not exist for Jewish people today. They may have some, but there was a period of time during the diaspora where they don't have these records that are concrete, that are solid. So there's no way that somebody could say, hey, I am of the line of David and this is how I can prove it. They could say it, but it's more than likely a forgery or not true. And so that's why it's important to see that the branch, Jesus, was a root that came out of Jesse, that came off after the tree was cut off. It was a shoot that came off of the tree, that came off of the stump, if you will, and continued that line. And he became he was known as the branch. So, and as we see that at the very end in the book of Revelation, the Bible says this, and one of the elders saith unto me, Revelations 5:5, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So if you've read the book of Revelation, you realize that there was seals that were open. There was only one person that could open the book, and that was the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who is a reference to Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that can open the book. So when we consider that, what does that mean for us? He is the branch. He is the root. Consider that our life, or if you're a plant, your life and nourishment come from the root. And the same thing is true for us spiritually. Our life and our nourishment come from the branch. That branch of Jesse, that branch of David is Jesus Christ. Hopefully we take time and we don't gloss over these names that are referenced to Jesus. But one more thing to kind of close this up, let's turn to Psalm 138 too. Psalm 138, and as important and as amazing as the names of God are, and as you look at the scriptures and you can see reference after reference after reference, different things that he's called. There's another study that maybe we'll pick up, or you can do on your own, where you see the names of God, you can see who God is in every piece of the armor of God. There's another one that I'm going to work on that maybe at some point that are the legal names of Christ, legal terms that make reference to Christ. And we see his names there. And it's amazing to look at his names. It's amazing to consider what his names mean and how that pertains to us and how it pertains to the scriptures and all of it coming together and all of part of God's plan. It's amazing to look at those things. However, in Psalm 138:2, I want us to consider something. It says this, it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So as great and as amazing to consider the names of God, even more so should we consider and magnify the word of God. Because God has put that even over his name, even over those things. That's what God has elevated. That's what God has put the priority on. And that's what we should put the priority on, is on his word. So when we stop and we consider that, we consider the names, consider that there's something that's even above the name of God. And that's his word. So hopefully you've learned a few things these last few weeks. That is all that we have for today. So I know a little bit shorter for you. But let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, we do love you, and we thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for this time that we've been able to study your word. And Lord, just confirm what it is that you have left for us to read and to enjoy and to most importantly, to learn from, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us to, Lord, to dig into your word as a treasure. Because that's what it is, Father. I pray we would hold it close to us, and Lord, that you would just continue to show us what it is that you have for us, what it is that, who it is that you are, and how that relates to who we are, and what it is that we need to do for you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to watch over us. Lord, as we go into our service, I pray that you would be with, Lord, those that are on their way. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to have our minds prepared and ready for your word. And Lord, as we go into the service, may you be honored by our singing, but most importantly, Lord, may you be honored by the decisions that we make, and Lord, the change and the impact that you desire to have in each and every one of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't miss the message this morning as we listen. And Father, I pray that you would help it to be real and applicable in our life. Lord, I pray that you would bless the rest of our day together. Help us to enjoy it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.